Blog Talk
Good
Radio.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, speaking to you from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking majestic Buckhead, where the temperature has been so hot you cannot believe it. But today it was a balmy 91. Not bad for the 2nd of July in Atlanta. All right, today we've got a lot to talk about. This is, I want to talk a little bit about the political implication of what has happened with Obamacare, with Chief Justice Roberts, and what his ruling meant, what were his implications, all the rest of it. There's a theory going around that he is an evil genius, in that he has put all of the onus back on the Democrats, and that because this is called a tax, it's going to, you know, cost them dearly in the election. There are a couple of things I just want to say about that before I take my first guess. Here they are. What are the side effects of this? Now, just think of this. You know, I'm a conservative, and most of the things are, how is this going to affect Romney? How is this going to affect the Senate and the House of Representatives? How is this going to play out in America? And here's some of the stuff that I was thinking about. All right, in 2010, the Republicans picked up 63 seats, putting Nancy Pelosi on the bench and Boehner in the speaker's seat, and shifting the power in America substantially, because the Republicans not only control the House of Representatives, they master it, because they have so many more votes now than they did. It's amazing, the difference. All right. Now, that being said, if you were a congressman or senator who lost your seat in 2010, wouldn't you be furious right now, knowing that Obamacare was going to end up being called a tax? If it had been called a tax, which it was in the beginning, always has been, they could have voted against it and still been in the House of Representatives. A net change of 63 seats. There are men and women whose careers have been destroyed, Democrats, because they went along with President Obama, and now they are practicing law or selling shoes, whatever they're doing, because he said it wasn't a tax. He promoted it like this is no tax. And the only way that it's been sustained as constitutional by the Supreme Court of the United States is, in fact, that it is a tax. All right. Now, second, if I was a Democrat and I was serving in the House or the Senate right now, wouldn't you be furious, knowing that you have to, in one way or another, stand with the President of the United States, who has been vindicated in one sense, because here it is, this is Obamacare is there, and he comes out with this big toothy grin, but the way that it is, it has been sustained, is by saying it's a tax. The American people hated it, knowing that it was a tax and not believing him to begin with when he rammed it down our throats. And that's why the House of Representatives went to the Republicans anyway. Now, the Senate is up for grabs, and all of the senators, right now there's something like 23 that are up for re-election, and about 8 with a couple of open seats for the, you know, with the Republicans. So the Democrats stand a very good chance of losing the Senate as well. Now, with this in mind, let's go ahead and take our first caller. Hello, this is Jack Watts on Jack Watts Live, and you're on the air.
Oh, is there Mr. Watts? Hello,
yes.
Mr. Watts?
This
Hello,
is
Mr. Watts. Hi, Mr. Watts. I think the Chief Justice is very, very conniving in what he did. But I think that in the long run, he's going to have what he wanted to have done, and that's to put Obama in a very, very precarious position, and Mr. Romney has an excellent chance, I think, now to become president. And Mr. Watts, I listened to your show last week, and I got your book this week, and I found it very interesting. And I also found it very interesting that you said that one of those representatives could be selling shoes now like you used to do when you were younger. That was very good. I like that.
Yes, when I was in college and graduate school, I sold fashion women's shoes. Interestingly enough, sir, when downtown Atlanta, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s mom used to come in to Davison's, which is now Macy's, and asked for me all the time because I would sit and try and help her. She had very difficult feet to fit, but I'd work with her. She was just a delightful old lady, absolutely.
Well, that's nice.
And I did that for a long time. But at any rate, I digress. I want to get back to the Chief Justice. So you think that that this was something that he did as intentionally to make it work for President Obama, but at the same time being the instrument to bring about his downfall? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I think that he didn't want everybody to think that he was going to be just follow the lines of being a conservative, so that 5 were against it and 4 were for it. So he did this to change the philosophy of the way that people think of the Supreme Court. But in the back door, when he passed it saying that it was definitely a tax, that very definitely put a bad earmark on Obama's campaign, saying when he kept saying that I will never, ever vote for a tax, and this is a tax. And if I'm not mistaken, 70% of the people of this country didn't want Obamacare in the first place. And I think you said it best when you said he shoved it down our throats.
Well, I think it's very interesting that that he would have done something like this. That clearly the Congress has the power to levy taxes. All taxes begin in the House of Representatives, although Obamacare actually began in the Senate and then went to the House of Representatives, as I remember. It's still, there's some other things that are interesting about this also. Because it is a TAC and a financial appropriation. To reverse it would require just a majority in the House of Representatives, which they have, the Republicans. To reverse it in the Senate, you need 51 votes. You don't need the threshold of 60 votes because this is not something that you can filibuster. Did you know that, sir?
No, I find that very interesting, though. I'm filled out by what you're saying. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's the key. And here's what, if you were running, there are some states that are definitely going to be in the Romney camp that have sitting Democratic senators that are going to be very susceptible to losing. I think in Florida, Senator Nelson is susceptible to lose because Floridians are pretty conservative. Now, they did go for Obama before, but I just don't see Florida going for Obama this time, and particularly because he has not been pro-Israel, and so he's not going to get that Jewish vote. And the Spanish vote in Florida is more Cuban than Mexican, and they're by nature more conservative, and that's, of course, why Marco Rubio has won there. Now, I don't know whether Scott Brown is going to be able to hold on in Massachusetts, just because in Massachusetts they would prefer a foolish fake Indian to a man of substance, but who knows? Where are you from, sir?
Well, I'm from Massachusetts, and I don't like, she lied to all of us, and she lied to get a better job at Harvard, and now she won't admit to it, and tried to make a big thing out of Scott Brown saying that he had meetings with kings and queens, and he immediately recanted that by saying that he met with their people, not with the kings and queens. But she has never yet admitted that she's not Cherokee. And when the Cherokee Nation showed up to confront her, she wouldn't meet with them. So I really have no use for that woman.
I didn't know about this. I want you to tell the audience what this is. The Cherokee Nation showed up.
Three of the Cherokee Nation, and one of them was the chief of the Cherokee Nation, showed up in Boston last week to confront her, and she would not meet with them. And one of the reasons she kept saying that she listed herself as Cherokee is because she wanted to meet other people that were like her. And then when they confronted her, she wouldn't have anything to do with it. I don't like her at all. I don't think she should be elected to anything.
Well, what is your feeling? Is this according to the Real Clear Politics, that's up for grabs? Do you think Scott Brown will hold on?
I sure hope so, because I think that Mr. Brown, he's Republican, but he seems to be very level-headed, and he's voted against things that the Republicans were trying to push through because he didn't think that it was the right thing. And I like somebody that is going to use their own intelligence to do what is right rather than just follow party lines.
Well, there you go. All right. Some of the other toss-up states that I think are going to be very, very hard for the Democrats to hold on to is Claire McCaskill's in Missouri, because I feel pretty certain that Missouri is going to go for Romney and not for Obama, and that makes her very vulnerable. Any time that, you know, that the presidential race goes for the Republican, the Democrat that is running for office in that state is going to have a lot of trouble. And that is definitely one, as is Tester in Montana. Montana is not only going to go for Romney, it'll go double digits, and that'll be hard. At the same time, Heller, who is a Republican, is going to have a hard time probably in Nevada, because even though they have the highest unemployment rate in the country, they're just leaning towards Obama. But, you know, you don't know. Right now, after this Obamacare went through, it was, you know, such a stunning victory for him that he got a bump in the polls. And so he's now leading Romney in Ohio substantially, in Pennsylvania and in Virginia, and even a little bit in Florida. And I think that ultimately Romney's going to have a very good chance of taking all of those states, including Pennsylvania, which is, has 20 electoral votes, so it's a big, big, big deal. But it's amazing to me that the whole deceitfulness about this bait and switch have made it such an incredible, incredibly duplicitous situation here for the American people, because it's like they didn't want to have the best healthcare system in the world changed. Then the Democrats went ahead and pushed it through, barely getting it through. And, you know, people standing with Obama, finally he got all those things. The backlash to it was tremendous, and, you know, so that the Republicans got the House of Representatives, and now there are 53 people there are 51 Democrats and two independents who caucus with the Democrats, so it's essentially 53-47. So the Republicans have to pick up four seats, or just three if they win the White House. Now, the reason for that is that if they win the White House, then the president of the Senate is the vice president of the United States. So Romney's running mate, whoever that would be the deciding vote, in the same way that Biden would be right now if there was a 50-50 split. So if Obama wins, then the Republicans need 51. If Romney wins, the Republicans need 50. And they've got very few seats that are up for grabs. Scott Brown and in Nevada, Heller are the only two that are really in play. The one, Nebraska, where Nelson was the, you know, the guy that had the bad toupee? You familiar with him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that was awful.
He's the one that, you know, they had that, what they call the Cornhusker kickback, for Nebraska. And once he saw how badly this all played out in the 2010 elections, he decided to retire and not even run again. So that seat in Nebraska is open, but it's definitely going to be a Republican. So that's a gain. There's an open seat in Arizona and in Indiana, and both of those are going to go for the Republican. So that would put them, they've got right now, what they've got for safe seats and these two that are likely, and would give them 45. So in these toss-up states, if they can hold on to Massachusetts.
I think they will. I think Scott Brown's going to win again. I hope so.
Well, if that's the case, then that's 46. They would need to
I don't know why anybody would vote for that Indian giver.
Well, we'll just see what they do about that. I think it's a real good chance that Florida and Missouri and North Dakota and even Virginia with George Allen Jr. running again. Actually, I kind of like him. He's a pretty good guy.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Watt? Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If everything you say comes true and the Republicans have the House of Representatives majority and the Senate the majority, doesn't that pretty much put Obama in a doghouse anyway? Because whatever he wants to do, it's not going to get through those two houses.
Well, he's already there because you need both, and the House of Representatives is staunchly opposed to the most of the policies of the president. And there are some things here that if you're running for the Senate, every place that you go, people are going to ask what about Obamacare, and it's a tax, and he said it wasn't a tax. How do you feel about that? Well, I'm for Obamacare. Well, then you're for somebody lying to us and putting something down our throat. No, I'm not for that. Well, then what are you for? They don't have any place to go. Then it's like, President Obama said he was going to be the most transparent president we've ever had. He told us that, didn't he? Yes, he did. He said that so many times. He said, but what about Fast and Furious and Holder? And here you got this big investigation, and which, the people who are younger do not remember what Watergate was like, but the parallels of it are extraordinary. It started out very small, and it was like it was a witch hunt. This poor, Richard Nixon, who's very popular president, who was ending the war in Vietnam, thank God, and why are you persecuting this poor man? And the story just kept, just trickling in and trickling in. And then it started getting bigger and bigger. And then it just, the bottom fell out because he was part of a conspiracy to hide the truth. And
Watergate didn't have anybody killed, though. Fast and Furious had.
Well, that's true. And, Watergate was a break-in, but the crime was the cover-up, and this presidential privilege essentially says, I've got something to hide. I don't care how you slice it. They've already given over 7,500 documents, but there are 150,000. And of the 7,500 that they gave, a lot of them, they just used magic marker and crossed out almost every word on the page and wouldn't let them see even what it said. That is a very troublesome thing for people who are running beneath Barack Obama as Democrats those who are congressmen, those who are senators. I don't, you know, state governments, if not quite as bad, but if you're running for Congress or the Senate, you have a huge amount of trouble here with, you know, with what's going on. It's hard to defend that. And, you know, the American people just don't like deceit. You know, boy, they'll do all kinds of things to, you know, to excuse people for, you know, for bad behavior, but out and out lying.
Yeah,
kind of like Bill Clinton.
Can I ask you something personal, Mr. Watts?
Yes.
Can I ask you something personal? I really, really, really enjoyed your book, and I'm hoping that you're coming out with something else. And if you do, would you let us know when you have a new book that comes out? Because I really enjoy the way you write. It's very intriguing. I read the whole book in 2 days. I couldn't put it down. It was so. And you have a very strange but wonderful family.
Well, yes, I definitely have a strange but wonderful family. That book, it's my story that you read, by the way. It's the name of it is Hi, My Name is Jack, and it's my recovery story. It's about recovery from alcoholism and about living in a dysfunctional family and what that has been like and how it followed me into adulthood, hard book to write, but it's something that anybody who reads it really does get touched by it and blessed by it. And I never have anybody who reads Hi, My Name is Jack that doesn't want to talk to me. It's like that. By the way, anybody who's interested in Hi, My Name is Jack, they could go to my website, which is www.jackwatt.me. Easy enough to remember, jackwatts.me. Interestingly, I am coming out with a new book that is called Real Prayers for Real People with Real Problems, and it'll be out in the next couple of weeks. And it's
wonderful.
It's kind of an interesting and kind of an interesting thing. But you know, I want to get away from my little commercial here and just finish up this subject. I'm thinking that a lot of the people in running for office who are Democrats are trying to figure out how they can be themselves and not be critical of the president. And I don't know how they're going to do it. And I think that that being the case, they're going to be hammered left and right and left and right about you know, the deceitfulness of what has happened to the American people and the rage that is going to come forth is, in my estimation, going to be unbelievable. Personally, I do not believe that the Chief Justice did this as in a moment of brilliance. I think that he was weak and followed after the liberals. And the reason I think that is that the four conservatives, including Kennedy, all agreed, and they would not have anything to do with Chief Justice Roberts. It was not an amiable split between him and the other four conservatives. So I'm not thinking that is the case, but I could be wrong. And I think a lot of people want to think that way because he's a nice guy and he presents well, and he's definitely made talk show radio something that's going to be a whole lot more interesting in the next couple of months because of what he's done. So in that case, you know, I'd say that he has done very well for me anyway. Listen, I want to thank you for calling, and I want to thank all of the listeners and just say, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you. Goodbye now.